This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from glorious Clearwater, Florida, the perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Well, it is really a thrill for me today. I have in the studio with me two young authors. Wow, this is exciting. And to introduce them, I have from Newport Richey Public Library, the Creative Writing Workshop, Catherine Long. Hi.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Great. It's good to be back.
Well, it's always so nice to have you here, and it's very exciting that you have brought in two of your the students from your wonderful, wonderful summer creative writing seminar for youth. So do you want to tell us about that?
I do. On this past July 27th, we had a seminar for young people to talk about creative writing, and we got some of our professional authors who are published and have been writing for some time, for some years, to come and help us out with instructing these young people in the art of poetry, writing fiction, and nonfiction. So we wanted to introduce them to the creative writing process and help them to take their interest and talent in that and move it forward.
And you had 28 participants, right?
26 altogether, yeah.
26. And we have two of them with us today, Jessica Kerr and Alina Hoff. Hi, girls.
Hi.
Okay, it's so nice to see you. Wow. It's always fun to do something wonderful in the summer, and to do a program like this is really exciting. So let's start with you, Jessica. You're how old?
12.
12, wow. And you're going to 7th grade?
Yes.
Okay, so what did you write about at the seminar?
I wrote about if you want to live in the country or the city.
Okay, and you enjoy, is this a nonfiction piece? Or fiction?
It's a fiction.
Fiction. Okay, do you want to read a little bit to us?
Sure. Well, actually, it's a nonfiction and a fiction. It's both.
Okay.
So, in my opinion, I would rather live in the countryside than the city. In Source 1, it says that country living can be good because it puts people close to the outdoors. Another reason why I would live in the countryside is because of the space. And my last reason why I live in the countryside is because of the traffic. So let me tell you more details about the wildlife. My research says that there are places for children to run and play and more wildlife to interact with. Some countryside areas are home to wild deer and bears, while other places are used to seeing wild mustangs run across the nearby valley. There is also something new to explore in the country. So the reason why I would want to live in the countryside with the wildlife, because you get to interact with it. But the city, there is so many people that there is no wildlife. That is why I don't want to live in the city.
Okay, well, that's nice. So while you were at the program, that you learned different types of writing, and of course one of them is fiction and one is nonfiction. And as I was telling Catherine earlier, many authors who write and sell millions and millions of books actually started off by writing nonfiction for newspapers and for articles and magazines. And it's a great way to learn how to write, and so I think you're on the way. Did you enjoy doing some research on this subject?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah, you enjoyed it. And do you live in the city?
Sort of.
Okay. Well, I I lived in a small town, and I lived in the countryside a lot, and it was a lot of fun. And we did have a deer, and we had bears. And as a matter of fact, my brother still lives up north in northern Michigan, and sometimes he looks out his kitchen window, and there's a bear sitting there waiting. in the wintertime, they're waiting for free apples, and he actually throws them. So that's perhaps why they visit him. So, and as a matter of fact, because of that, I just want to show everybody, we are on YouTube, and I have with me Pekka the Bear. And Pekka the Bear is from northern Michigan, and I have him here because I don't want a real bear like my brother has, but he actually has real bear. And of course, deer all the time come right up to his porch, and he feeds them. So there's lots of great things about living in the country. Now, what did you enjoy most about the writing program?
I enjoyed how I had like a lot of stuff on my mind, so I just like put it down on a piece of paper, and I enjoyed it, like sharing it with others and then having them tell me like what I need to fix and what I did good on.
Okay, and I noticed that you have very neat printing, handwriting, which is good, because I wanted to tell people, it's so funny, I was talking to somebody, an older person, not too long ago, and that person, I said, well, they said, I want to write. And I said, well, good. And they said, well, I don't have a computer, I can't write. And I said, okay, well, all of, you know, the very famous authors from the olden days, they didn't have computers, they didn't need computers. And next week, I'm going to have an author on. Her name is Margaret George, and she wrote a book about King Henry VIII, and it's 600 pages. Now, of course, she has a computer, but she wrote the entire book by hand, 600 pages, and she wrote it not just once, she then rewrote it, you know, to make it better, and so she wrote it twice, and she did it by hand, and it's on paper, which is very nice. So this is a good lesson to everybody out there. All you have to do, the wonderful thing about writing, all you need is your brain, your heart, and a paper and pencil, and you can do it. That's the most important thing. Never think that anything can stop you from writing. If you want to write, you can write. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Well, I think you did a marvelous job of... What other kind of writing do you want? Are you going to write some stories now?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And you like to read, I hope.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's important, because all writers are also good readers. The more you read, as I mentioned, Margaret George, who's going to be here next week, to write one book, she wrote one book, 600 pages. She read 300 books to write that one book. So she had to read 300 books about Henry VIII and about the time to write one book. So you see, you have to be a good reader to be a good writer. Okay. Well, aren't you proud of her?
Yes, I am. And not only the children were wonderful, I want to just share with you for a second about our the writers that were the instructors for them. Andrea Hiotis and Jan Braemeyer took the 6 to 8 year olds, and you know Andrea, she's been here.
She's a wonderful artist and
children's
delightful
book writer. Yes, and Laura Crawford is the author of that, The Lady with Parkinson's Disease, that I gave you that book of. And Sylvia Yusko, they taught the 9 to 12 year olds. That was Jessica's group. And the teenagers were instructed by Deb Plotkin. She has written a wonderful book called Wishbone, which is about she and her husband's journey of 10-year journey to have children, and they had a lot of, you know, went to all the fertility clinics and did all of that kind of stuff. I'm sorry I don't have a copy with me, but I will send you one. It's a fabulous true story, funny. She's got a great sense of humor, and I know you'll enjoy it. I do have a little statement that Deb asked me to share with the readers about how she felt about the seminar we did. I'm proud to say the teens in this creative writing group were hardworking, dedicated, courageous, talented, creative, imaginative, and willing to push past their comfort zone. I know teens usually get saddled with a negative stereotype as being lazy or disrespectful and uncooperative. I therefore encourage every adult to take the time to engage with the young people in their lives, actively listening to their ideas and their stories and their dreams. Then you too will be delighted in finding the treasures waiting to be discovered within each and every one of them. Deb Plotkin, author, speaker, and happiness seeker.
Okay, well, it's true. Sometimes teens can be a little challenging, but we have two preteens here
yes.
who have proven that they can write and that they enjoy writing, and we should encourage children of every age. Even it's so funny. I've had quite a few authors who are very famous, who started writing little books when they were 5 years old, and their mothers would put them together and save them, and now they're 40 or 50 years old. But they still have those little books. So do make sure you save your work. One of the things that I'm most sorry about, I did write a lot when I was young, and I traveled around a lot, I moved around a lot, and I didn't save my work. And I am very sorry now. I've only once in a while I will find a sheet of paper, and I will see that I wrote that when I was very young, and I think, whoa, that was pretty good. And I'm very proud of myself. So it's very nice. And particularly the handwritten things. Those are the, you know, computers, it's funny. They can change. They're not as fascinating to look at years later. So make sure that you save your things. Now we're going to talk to Alina. Alina Huff is, how old are you?
10.
10 years old. So she is a preteen. Here, we're going to move the microphone over to her. Okay, now, Alina, tell us about your writing. What did you write?
I wrote a poem.
Okay, so you're going to read it for us?
Yes.
Okay.
I sit on a chair at the theater as I dream of Bolette, dear reader. Everything I always wanted to be suddenly appears in the show before me. As the ballerinas are twirling with grace, I dream of a pink tutu and a pretty face. In point shoes performing a passé, I know I will dance someday.
Oh,
wow.
Lovely.
That is beautiful. Fantastic. Wow. So much feeling and really beautifully written. Isn't
yeah, that
it?
Really
gorgeous.
Touched me.
So you enjoy poetry and you enjoy reading?
Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm really, really impressed with that poem. Do you dance now?
Yes.
Yes? Okay, well, that's fantastic. It's wonderful to be able to put your feelings into words and to get them on paper and to share them with other people, because I'm sure there are many, many young people who also want to dance, and they'll read that poem and they'll say, wow, this is exactly what I've been thinking. So it's beautiful, really, really beautiful. And, you know, Catherine, I think that what you're doing with this program is really to be commended, because so often people don't realize that just from encouraging young people at a young age can change their lives. And I just think it's a thrill that you're doing this, because of course you are yourself a poet, and so you must really appreciate this absolutely adorable poem, and now you've written several books, and you gave me some here. And what I like about you, Catherine, is that you're always writing, and in these books, it's nice you self-published them, but you have your pictures of your grandchildren, right?
Yes.
And this is something that all of you out there, there's a book in everybody, and you can find that book, but it's a matter of sitting down and just being determined and saying, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to write. And so I think that it's, you know, one of the things that we want to always tell people is that try. Why not try? Everything's not perfect. I'm going to ask I'm just moving the microphone here for a minute, and I'm going to ask Jessica. Every time you write something, it's not perfect, is it?
No.
But you work on it,
yeah.
And you try to get it better. And as you went to this seminar, you learned how to improve things. You learned one of the important things when you're learning to write is that you have to learn to go back. You have to always be ready. All of the authors I know, and all of the very famous ones, who have best-selling books, they still go back over the books many times, rewriting them. Then when they send it into their agent and into the publishing house, they have editors there who come back to them and say, you have to fix this, you have to fix that. So even the most famous writer sometimes has to go back and fix something. So you shouldn't worry about it. You shouldn't think, oh, well, it has to be perfect the first time. Is that correct, Catherine?
That's exactly right. As a matter of fact, one of the things that we tried to impart to the children at the seminar, we had them all write something, and then established a critiquing panel of some of our authors, and the ones who wanted to shared what they had written, and we critiqued them and told them what we liked about it, and showed them areas where they could improve, giving them a few ideas for improving their work, just to get them accustomed to the process of the fact that you write, and then after that comes the hard work. You have to start editing and changing and making improvements to the writing, and then eventually you perfect it enough to be published. So we wanted to encourage them in knowing that process and being able to experience part of the process. Some of the parents actually have come to me asking me if there was some way that we could establish a regular meeting for these kids to be able to do it on a regular basis. So right now our group is looking into sponsoring a once a month Saturday time to be able to spend a couple of hours helping them to write and critiquing their writing. So
we're hoping to watch the progress.
Yes.
And then eventually to put it together in little books and little, I certainly think that Alina's little poem here is ready to be published.
Oh, yes, very nice. Beautiful work.
It would be, you could publish it. And as a matter of fact, we have to ask maybe Andrea, and she can illustrate it. It would be, as a matter of fact, if you do that, if you get Andrea to illustrate it and you want, I will put it on my webpage.
Oh, that would be lovely. We'll talk to her about it and see if we can get that done. Also, at the seminar, we wanted them to come away with something. So they're writing. We gave them cardstock, and they were able to make a cover. And we gave them a little plastic, you know, those plastic things where you save papers, and to put their cover in, and made it so that they could take it home and make a little booklet out of it and add to it later.
Well, it is important. One of the things that as I was telling Jessica, to save your writing, the best thing is to keep a journal. And I will tell you this, and it's very important. Someday, let's say 20 years from now or 40 years from now, you're going to want to write about being on a radio program. And you'll go back and you'll say, oh, what do I remember? What do I remember? If you've kept a journal, you'll have the date, and you'll know what kind of weather it was outside. You'll remember who you were with. If you don't write it down, you'll probably forget it. But if you keep a journal, and it's funny, when you're looking at books through history, the ones that are often the most interesting are the ones that will tell you about a time and a place. Not just you know, where it was, but exactly the type of weather it was. Even how much, say you stop for a McDonald's on the way back. How much did that McDonald's cost that day? Because what is it going to cost 40 years from now? So all of these little details, what you were wearing, for example, you'd want to put that in. I was wearing my pretty, you both look so pretty in pink, and so you'd want to write that. So all of these things, if you put it in a journal, keep a notebook, you will be very, very happy with yourself, because then you won't have to strain so much your brain to try to remember. You'll say,
right.
I have this. I know where I was and what I was doing that day. And you'll remember Big Ed in the control room there, who's like overwhelmed today. He said, all these people, all these kids, he's not used to that. And he said, oh, it's so much fun. So you remember these kind of things if you will keep a journal. So I hope you will do that. And again, I want to thank you both for coming in today. What do you plan to do for the rest of the summer? When does school start? Pretty soon, huh?
Next week.
Next week. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, this will be a fun thing to tell everyone. Do you want to say hi to somebody special, your family, your friends? What do you want to say to anybody out there?
Hi.
Yeah? Okay. And what about you, Alina? You want to say something special? Huh? You want to tell people to keep writing? Or start writing if they haven't started?
Start writing.
Yeah? Okay. Anything else? Okay. One of the things you have to work on, and this is I'm telling you, this is when you are an author, what you have to do is you have to go around talking a lot. Did you know that? Yeah, see, most people don't know that. Most people think, oh, I can be an author, and I can sit in my room, and I can write, and I can then send it to somebody in New York City, and they're going to put it in a book, and then I'm going to be famous, right? You think so? That's not exactly how it works. The part sending it off to New York is probably true, but you will also want to have to go out and talk about your book. So this is something you'll practice, and that's, again, something that you might want to do. At your writing seminar, get the kids in front of a camera. And
good idea.
And actually practice talking about yourself, okay? And talking about your stories. So I think you did a great job today. And we'll, you know, next year you do another seminar, mm-hmm. and we'll have you back. And if you write another poem, or if you write a poem or a short story and you want me to talk about it, you let me know, okay? And as I said, I have Pekka, my bear, here in the studio today, and he is writing his own story about his button that he lost, and he doesn't know where it is, and he's searching everywhere, and he's going to go around, and he's writing a book right now, trying to find where that button is. So I just want everyone to know that this has been really so much fun for me to have the girls here in the studio. And it's, again, the Newport Richey Public Library. When is your writing group meet?
We meet every Monday afternoon at 4:30, and we go till about 7:30 or so.
Okay,
so.
Well, if anybody's in that area, they should check with you and get involved. And meanwhile, also, where are your books available?
Both of my books are available on Amazon.
On Amazon. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we have, where are they? I just want to mention them. And they are by Catherine Long and Kitty Capers. I like it. Volume 1 and Volume 2, adorable pictures of Catherine Long's grandchildren. And they're nice little books, and they have just fun stories,
yes.
Right? Absolutely,
yep.
Fun stories. So, again, thank you, Catherine, for bringing the girls in today. It's been wonderful to see you both. Very nice. And just keep writing, okay?
Thank you for having us, Patsy. We really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, we're going to take some commercials, and we'll be back. I'll be back in a little while with Kristen Higgins, who's going to talk about her new book. Okay.
This is the TAN Talk Radio Network.
Do you dread being called on to speak at meetings or family functions? Have you envied those who can sway an audience with well-chosen words? Do you know that people who speak well earn more money, earn more recording careers? Gain the confidence to master any speaking situation. Toastmasters will allow you to find your voice. Go to toastmasters.org to locate the club nearest you.
Are you an author? An artist? An inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
How many of you listening today yearn to write stories, poems, or novels? Each of you has a story to tell or knows of a story that others would love to read if only you could put the words on a page. The many writers' clubs in the Bay Area understand this urge and would welcome any new writer to learn with them. So go ahead and take the first step to becoming a well-known author. Sponsored by the Pinellas Writers Club.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
That was fun to talk to these girls. Wow. It's nice when they start off young and they already have ideas on writing, and you never know. You know, this is the exciting thing. As I had Ashley Royer in here when she was 16, and she was quite an amazing author. And what happened with her is she put her work up on Wattpad. And for those of you who aren't familiar with it, it's used mostly by younger people. It's something, you know, all of these things come along at different stages in our life. And Wattpad is a very useful tool for young writers. It gives them an opportunity to post small sections of their writing and to get opinions from people. And in Ashley's case, she started putting her her work up, and next thing we know, she has 30 million hits on her Wattpad page. And so it's, you never know what's going to happen out there with an author. Sometimes something will just connect. And I was talking to Robert Crace, and he said that, you know, when he first started writing, he was rejected so many times that I think it was way into the hundreds of times that he was rejected, and his books were, he was writing for television, and his books were rejected time after time. He kept writing and sending in his books, and people, all the publishers kept rejecting him. But luckily, of course, he was writing also for television at the time, so he was making a little bit of money. So that's why we always say for authors that they should be have extra writing to do, extra things to do, and to make money. And so he wrote, his first book was called The Monkey's Raincoat, and of course it was rejected, but he didn't give up. He kept sending it in and kept sending it in. I think after, you know, 8 publishers particularly rejected that book, he said, okay, well, you know, I'm going to keep going. And eventually somebody did pick it up. It wasn't very popular to start, but it was word of mouth. And word of mouth is very important for authors. And so if I am now an author who gets the best word of mouth from her readers. Kristen Higgins has written a new book called Life and Other Inconveniences. Hi, Kristen.
Hi, Patsy. How are you?
Okay, well, I just knocked over my water bottle. I'm making ringing bells. I guess it's just the excitement of talking to you. How are you? It's so funny.
I'm doing great.
I just finished an interview. I had kids from a local writing program, creative writing program for the summer, and they came on to talk about their writing program. And I was thinking, it's so wonderful when people encourage kids to be writers at a young age. And in this case, they were 10 and 12 years old. And they're doing wonderful work. So it's so exciting to see that. And then of course I come to you and you're like, woo! I mean, you're doing pretty well out there, Kristen. You know, and when we talk about word of mouth, I mean, you get the people just love your work. I mean, and the new book, I'm sure it's going to do just as well as the last one, because the new book is called Life and Other Inconveniences, and it is, of course, fascinating. I don't even know where to start with you. How are you doing? You must be so excited with how well you've done with your career.
I am. I mean, I feel incredibly lucky. And, you know, I started writing when my kids were toddlers. I wrote during their nap time and after they went to bed. And now they're nearly grown. My daughter's in graduate school and my son is in college. And I've been writing in that whole time, which is very surreal and very amazing. And I'm just so lucky with my readers. They are very engaged. I have a really close relationship with several of my, you know, through several of my social media sites. You know, I answer all my fan mail myself, and so I do get a lot of word of mouth and a lot of love from the reader community. And I think, you know, I'm really, really grateful for that. And I think if I ever lose that sense of wonder about it, then I need to stop writing and find something else to do.
Well, I don't think you have to worry. As I said, the word of mouth from your last book, which was Good Luck With That, and it became a bestseller, and, you know, you're a New York Times bestseller, USA Today bestselling mm-hmm. author, and all of that. But the word of mouth from that book, I think, really propelled you into a sort of a new dimension, because it connected with so many people. And after that, I think it just blossomed.
Yeah, you know, I mean, that book did go into reprinting several times in the first few months, and it was thrilling. So, yeah, that book was a story of how closely aligned self-esteem is with size and weight for women. And it definitely resonated with so many readers. I've gotten so many letters about it and how much of a relief it was to have it talked about and to know that other people felt that way. And, you know, I said to each one of them, you know, my heart and blood is smeared all over those pages. You know, I've lived through a lot of those experiences. In Life and Other Inconveniences, I said, this is a book about love, loss, and redemption. And again, it's a universal experience. We are all going to lose somebody. And what happens from that loss is our decision. You know, we can't control who lives or dies, of course, but how you deal with it defines you. And so we have these two characters, Genevieve London, who is 85 years old, facing the end of her life. And early in her adulthood, she had two terrible losses. Her son went missing when he was 7 years old, and then 3 years later, her husband died. And her heart shrivels because of those losses, and she knows it, but she turns her energy and her grief into work, and she becomes a founder of an empire of handbags and shoes. And then she has a granddaughter, and when her granddaughter is 8, Emma comes to live with her. Emma's mother has just died by suicide, and Genevieve has this little lost girl to deal with, and she doesn't deal with her that well. Now, here's Emma, 8 years old, coming to live with this grandmother she barely knows, and she deals with loss by reaching out for love, you know, with both hands. She wants to create happiness and a family, and it's kind of small wonder that she gets pregnant when she's 18, and she has the baby, her daughter Riley, and raises her with so much love and so much of her heart. Riley becomes her world. And now, you know, 16 years later, Genevieve reaches out to Emma after all this time and says, I'm dying, and you need to come home, and I want to meet my great-granddaughter.
Okay. And well, so I want to stop there because
yeah, sure.
It's, you know, I always hesitate to tell too much about a book because, of course, what you just said, we learn in the first few pages. But there's a lot in this book that is revealed. And I love the reveal. I love when things play out. You're reading. You don't know what's going to happen. I never know what a book is about until I start it. I never look at the cover. I look at the picture on the cover, but I never read the back. I never read any of the thing the publicist send to me. I know they'll they'll be tearing their hair out there and say, "We work so hard on all this stuff we send," and she never reads it, and I never read it until after, until like maybe even the day of an interview, because I don't want it to influence me. I am one of these people. I so love the story. I so love to get into a book that when I sit down and I start reading it, and in some ways, I mean, this isn't a suspense book, but there is suspense in it because we don't know what's going to happen. We're not sure. And as you tell this very touching story and complicated story, and as you said, there's a lot of loss and grief, but you are also a funny writer. I mean, you have a way to just with a sentence or two to make us laugh, and I really appreciate that in an author.
Oh, thank you. You know, I don't want to read a book that doesn't have humor in it as a reader, so I never write one without humor. And I think that, you know, sorrow and humor are, you know, the different sides of the same coin. And so if you can make someone cry, you can make them laugh. And I want my readers to have that kind of experience, you know, that that deep emotional experience where they will laugh out loud and they will need some tissues and then they'll laugh again.
Well, I think you achieve it. And I love the premise. I love the idea I like the whole sort of backstory here. And as I said, it is nice how it is revealed sort of layer by layer as we learn more about them. And I particularly, you know, it just, I really found Emma a fascinating character, and her daughter is Riley, and I thought the way you handle that as a teenager, and at the beginning of the book, where Riley has some problems, let's say, I just love the way that Emma jumped in and handled that. I thought, right on, girl, this is the way to do it, and you know, because Riley faces some bullying, and I think nowadays people aren't sure what they should do or how they should handle things. And I like the way Emma did it. She's a psychologist, and it doesn't exactly perhaps handle it like psychologists one would think would do it. And I thought it was very funny. And so I appreciated all of that, and the sort of the built-in there's some humor in that, and I like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's, you know, she's a psychologist, but she's also a mama bear.
That's it. And
I
thought the grandmother, Genevieve London, I like that character. I like the idea of what you came out with, and perhaps because I love purses. No, I just gravitated to that woman too. I don't care how horrible she is. Anybody who can design.
I know she's everyone's favorite character.
She's a horrible person, but she designs beautiful handbags. Goodness gracious, you know, what more do you want out of a grandmother? I love beautiful purses. As a matter of fact, the only time I've been really envious of anybody. I mean, I don't, you know, I can. It's just so funny. I went to visit this woman. She was hosting a party for one of the charity groups that I belong to. And I had to go to the restroom, and I went down the hallway, and I suddenly look, and she has this hallway that's like 16 feet tall ceilings. And I suddenly look, and I realize the entire, both sides of the wall are hanging purses. Purses that she's bought over the years, like 40 years worth of purses. the most beautiful persons you ever saw. I mean, I wanted every single, and persons from all over the world, many from Paris, because she traveled a lot, many from Paris or Rome, and I never saw anything so gorgeous. This is like the ideal. So, you know, I had a sort of a sympathy for this Genevieve. And it's funny, you know, you look at it now and some of the things that people, perhaps in the olden days, they kicked out, people, or they didn't want to accept people. It's sort of nice in a way that things have changed in many ways, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, she is an old school, different generation. And she had plans for Emma, you know, what Emma's adult life would be like. And she hoped that they would grow closer as Emma got older. But, she's a wonderful character. And it was so much fun to write a person 30 years older than I am. To write a woman in her 80s who is still so formidable and so impressive. Still can, you know, give that rapier cut when she's talking and know where to stab exactly. And yet she's so sympathetic, too.
Yeah.
She's a woman who's lost a lot and who's done a lot.
Well, you know, one of the things, as I said, because you really captured right from the beginning, and this is always, you know, that first few pages are so important. And the minute I read that line, and you have to pronounce that word, where Emma says to her, she says, "Are you sure it's not paraningogia? Is that it? Is that it?"
Yes.
She's a little bit hypochondriac, Emma, and she thinks she's got diseases, and she's got, and when she says that, you know, it just stops you in your track. You read that and you say, what was that word? Are you sure it's not para? And then you start.
Paraningogia.
And then you stop to think, what is that? Do I have that? Oh my gosh. I thought that was such a great way to start the story. I thought, well, this tells us a lot about Emma. Really, it does.
Right. And that's your job as a writer, is to pull the reader right in and show you who the character is right away.
I mean,
and
immediately after that.
Single mom.
And she has
to work. Single mom. She's worried about what will happen to me if what will happen to my daughter if something happens to me. And yet she's also a psychologist. So she knows how goofy she's being, and yet she can't stop herself.
I thought it was great. I loved it. In a way, there's a line in the book that says, because sometimes people can only feel good about themselves if they make someone else feel bad. And I sort of, that's sometimes a theme in your books, that you realize that people can be strange, aren't they?
Yeah, and, you know, that was in regard to Riley being kind of turned on by her three friends and pushed outside the circle, and that's what Emma tells her. But I think that's true, you know, that it's such a hard lesson to learn, that it's really not about you, it's about them, and you have no control over how someone feels about you sometimes. It doesn't matter how nice you are, or how long you've been friends, or what you did in the past. You know, sometimes this happens, and sometimes you get bullied, and there's usually a story behind the bullying, too, you know? There's definitely that truth to that saying of hurt people, you know, that's how you express your pain, and certainly that was true with Genevieve. You know, she's a broken-hearted mother, and she does not become kinder and more gentle because of her loss. She becomes rather sharp.
But she's not all bad. She drinks Hendrick's gin, which if you're going to drink gin, is the best.
Go
for Hendrick's. Yeah, and Chopin vodka. I mean, the same thing. Yeah, there's. It's funny. I just read a book last week in which the character drinks Hendrick's gin. So either everybody is getting the word out, because, I mean, it was published just about the same time as yours, so you didn't, I don't think you know each other, and you didn't, you know, but boy, oh boy, it's funny. I love all these little connections, you know, because I read so much, it's so often, because that's what I would order is Hendrick's gin, and so it's just funny, all these little sort of threads that I connect both to myself and to books and to other books. So it's fascinating. I love it. Wow.
Yes, and Genevieve likes the finer things in life, so Hendrick's is perfect for her.
That's right. I mean, what else? If you're going to do it right. that's my opinion too. Well, you know, I think that you are a fascinating writer. As I said, I don't know. You also, I should perhaps mention that you are you 3-time winner of the Romance Writers of America Rita Award. Right?
Yes. The Rita Award.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's nice. I like that one. And, you know, I think you're doing pretty well. I think, you know, I think you're doing okay. And
Thank
I, as a matter of fact,
Kathy.
It's funny, in this book particularly, I think that, I always read books, because I was a script writer, I was telling Robert Crace that, you know, as a script writer, I when I read his books, I know that he was a script writer because he has that ability to really take us into a place and a location and make us feel like we're there. And it's funny that when I was reading your book, I've traveled all over the world. I've been every place, major city, everywhere. But the one place I have not been is Chicago. I have never been to Chicago. I don't know why. I think the times that I could have gone, it was like really cold. And I said, why I go to Chicago when it's really cold? But I loved how you immediately got me into Chicago. And I thought that's really great. And I love that the scene there on the Magnificent Mile, Emma's walking there, and I thought, whoa, that is very cinematic. That's a cinematic scene. I could see that playing out in a movie. And as a matter of fact, the entire book I think would make a great movie. So,
thank you, Cassie. I love to write visually. You know, I want people to be able to see where the book is taking place, and I do think that comes down to details. You know, like Hendrick's gin or what color the couch is, you know. I want the readers to feel like they're in the book.
Well, I think you achieve that so beautifully, so seamlessly, which is what you want. You want to feel, when you read a book, you want to feel that comfort zone, that you're in a book, that you can just sit back, relax, and enjoy it. And that's certainly happening with you. Now, I just, again, want to tell everybody, the cover is fascinating too. I didn't expect the cover. I didn't expect that. As I said, I never read anything about the author, about the book. I don't know anything about it when I open it up. I judge it by the cover. So here I have this dog swimming, and I'm thinking, "Woo, what's this book about?" I wasn't sure. It's a beautiful cover. It's sort of enticing.
And that cover does represent a scene in the book.
Yeah, I know.
I eventually got it.
So it is a nice, it's very distinctive. And it's called Life and Other Inconveniences, and it's a novel by Kristen Higgins, New York Times best-selling author, and translated into all sorts of languages, but we are only interested in the English one at the moment, which is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And do you have a website you want people to go to?
Sure, kristenhiggins.com. And all my social media links and where to buy the book are all there.
Okay, well, I think it's a fascinating book, and I think people will enjoy it. And again, Kristen, thank you so much for joining me today on Joy on Paper. It's been a joy to talk to you.
That was a pleasure.
Okay.
Thank you so much, Pepe. Have a great day.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye now. Ooh, okay, as I said, it's so funny. This cover, I'm going to hold it up, but to those of you who are on YouTube, it has a picture of a puppy swimming underwater. And it is actually, because I get so many Nat Geo books, and I get a lot of Nat Geo books about dogs, and for a moment I looked at it, and I thought, oh my goodness, what is this, a Nat Geo book? But it actually is, as she said, a scene in the book, and it's a pretty cover, and she's a great writer. As you know, when you get to be on her level, New York Times bestselling author and all of that, you're pretty sure that you're going to get a good book, and you certainly do with this book. And it's, again, it's called Life and Other Inconveniences. An interesting title. Once you get it wrapped around your tongue a few times, you'll remember it. Anyway, it has been fun. It was fun, so much fun to have the girls in the studio today. And I want to, again, thank Catherine Long and the entire Newport Richey Public Library writing group, the creative writing group. They are wonderful. And all of you, there are creative writing groups in all the libraries around, wherever you are. Check out your local library and get involved and start writing. If you need encouragement, that's an ideal place to get it. And while you're there, get some books and start reading. Because I'm going to have Robert Crace on, and he has a new book called The Dangerous Man. And you're going to want to get that one. And you're also going to want to get Kristen Higgins' Life and Other Inconveniences. Anyway, remember, you know, one of the things I always tell you, and it's so funny, one of the joys of life really is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or, if you're very lucky, to hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. And your book will be turned into a major motion picture, streaming video, or perhaps a series on Hallmark Channel. So you never know, but you won't find out until you start writing. So start writing. Meanwhile, say something nice to somebody today. And I will say again, thank you, Big Ed. He was like, oh, who are all these kids? We had the families of all the kids in here too. And it was really crowded, but it was lots of fun to see everybody. And again, thank you, Ed, for everything. And he's saluting me, and I'm saluting him. And we had a wonderful, wonderful day. Bye-bye now, everybody. Bye-bye.